Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we are. Overnight America continues. Don't give me that look. Hour number two, which means we're this close to playing our favorite song on a Friday, which is, of course, Rebecca Black, Friday. It doesn't feel right until then. This morning, it felt like Christmas morning. Last few days, I was filling in for Mark Reardon's program along with Carol Daniel and Amy Markscore. We had some real fun doing that. But since I was off at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, drove home, missed all of the snow, was an off last night, heard Brad Young, woke up this morning bright and early, snow on the ground, kid woke up. I'm normally not up when the kid wakes up because, you know, I do the overnight show, so he normally wakes up before I do. I'm still sleeping a little bit. But he came out, checking out the snow. Whoa, look at that. And it was just me and him, and we're hanging out. I'm drinking my coffee in the morning and, you know, making him breakfast. I made bacon this morning, and it was kind of like it felt like a Christmas morning. And then my wife came out and said, let's put the tree up. It's Christmas, huh? The next thing you know, I'm here. So I need that little pick-me-up, which is, of course, Rebecca Black, which will be coming up here soon. In this hour, Luke Trolley dedicated. Hey, congratulations. And some planes clipping each other at Lambert. Reverend Rice's new lease on life, I guess? Not really. I got a theory about that. I haven't talked to him, but I have a theory on that. But I had a chance while I was here during the day to talk to Charlie Brennan. And I've been meaning to sit down and just talk radio with him. You know what's weird? When I talk radio as a topic on this show, people really like it. When we post it up on podcasting, people like to go back and listen to the parts where we talk about radio. There's a lot of fascination around it. So this hour too, since it's a little bit more flexible because it's a Thursday night and a Friday morning, if there's any questions you've ever had about radio that you've ever wondered or wanted to ask, I'll try to answer those for you after our interview with Charlie Brennan here. You just celebrated 30 years, was it?
30 years in St. Louis.
Isn't that crazy? 30 years?
Yes. I think I told you this before. I thought I'd come here for a couple of years and then hopefully move to Chicago or something, but I did run into Paul Reiner, who was then the past president of St. Louis University. You see, I had gone to a Jesuit high school in Cleveland, Jesuit College in Boston, and I said, I'll make a little diplomatic courtesy call to Father Reiner here. And when I met him, he said, if you marry a girl from St. Louis, you'll never move out. And he was right.
They somehow know. What drives you crazy in radio?
Oh.
I mean, you've seen a lot of things in 30 years. There's got to be things that just drive you crazy when it happens.
Well, okay. Mostly the guests who you could ask them, what time is it? And they'll tell you, well, as I say in the book, I can't stand people who have talking points, politicians either. I like people who are real, kind of genuine. And so when people are obviously trained by someone to respond to a talk show host with their memorized ad-libs, right? I can't stand that. That drives me crazy, honestly.
You can't combat that, though. I mean, they do their answer, and you only get 15 minutes with someone, so you don't have a lot of time.
One time we had a woman on, and she was purported to be an expert on time management, and she would save you time, which at the time, still today, I could really use that advice. So we booked her, but it turns out that her tour was sponsored by Kraft Macaroni and Cheese. And every question I asked her, she responded with a recommendation that we get and eat Kraft Macaroni and Cheese. No matter what, I said, well, how about students? Well, Kraft Macaroni and Cheese is great for students. Do you have any advice for the businessman who is on the road a lot? Yes, Kraft macaroni and cheese. It was the worst.
When you're at a fancy steakhouse, what do you ask for? Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, those sponsored interviews. Sometimes you don't know when it's coming until after. You're talking to them, and then you catch on like, oh.
And sometimes you don't
deals.
Know.
Yeah.
You don't even, you know, there could be dark money behind all our interviews. You don't know who's, you know, I mean, you interview someone. Like today I had someone on from creditcard.com because he was pointing out some interesting credit cards.
Yeah.
One where you get 75,000 miles and $95 annual fee.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, who's sponsoring this at the end of the day? Is it that credit card paying him, or is he working for a not-for-profit? Sometimes I'm never even sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, people like the idea of getting their websites out there and just the...
Sure.
You know, if you get on KMOX, that makes you feel pretty good as a guest, right? They get on the Charlie Brennan program.
Hopefully there are a few ears when you get on the program. That's what we all hope, right?
Yeah. What's something you've never done in 30 years in St. Louis that you've always wanted to do?
I want to interview Kevin Kline someday.
Yeah?
Yeah. Can't get near the guy.
Why not?
I don't know. We've made overtures. Even when he was stumping for John Kerry, he wasn't available. I don't know if he does many interviews, but, you know, he grew up here.
Yeah.
And I always thought it would be interesting to hear what his life was like here in St. Louis before he became rich and famous. So want to do that. I really wish St. Louis would build a marina in downtown St. Louis. That would be great. That's not me, of course. But
we get an aquarium. That'll be nice when that opens up.
Yeah. Well, we kind of had one at the City Museum, didn't we?
I don't know.
Union Station's building one, too.
Yeah, that's the one they're building. Yeah,
yeah, right. So that'll be great.
The
but that's
pitchers.
Not the same as having, you know, sailboats outside the arch.
I think
that would look great.
Did you ever make it on the big McDonald's paddle boat that was out there?
Yes, I did. And in fact, I had lunch on one of the paddle boats about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was very nice, beautiful view of the arch. Friend of mine from Cleveland, Ryan, came and he said that having a McDonald's on your riverfront is an urban pioneer, or rather an urban planner's nightmare.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, you're trying to build your city. You don't want to do it around McDonald's.
That's memorable, though.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's better than a bunch of abandoned buildings we can't renovate or fix up or whatever.
And we have a lot of them on the riverfront. A friend of mine ran American Steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
They have a steamboat that goes up and down the Mississippi from, I think, New Orleans to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take these trips with various ports of call. But he said we would come into St. Louis at night because we didn't want people to see it.
Yeah.
He said it was the ugliest port of call approaching it anyway. Once you got to downtown, great. But getting there and then leaving, not too attractive.
I've always wanted to sit down and have a conversation about radio with Charlie Brennan. We'll continue it coming up next on Overnight America KMOX.
News at the top of every hour. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and I had a chance to sit down with the KMOX great Charlie Brennan after 30 years with KMOX. I'm sure he has some great stories to share, but really, I just wanted to talk radio with him, and this was a good excuse. Do you ever name drop?
I do all the time.
Yeah?
When I started, it was not, you know, it was considered rude or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Today, everyone name drops. You know, if you had, for example, I had Andy Cohen on the program this morning.
Right,
it's name dropping. And he's made a living name dropping. I don't know if you've seen his show, but it seems like name dropping has become part of what people do now.
Yeah. What's the difference between you and Andy Cohen on a talent level? Because he does the sit-down interviews. He's very personable, just like you. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, he walks in a room, everyone smiles because he's kind of a fun guy.
He is that guy, isn't he?
And then in his first 10 minutes, he has about 4 or 5 different games with the guests.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, wow, that's a whole half-hour show. He's just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
He has, in his interview, he might say hello to the person, then interview the bartender, and then maybe some other guest. And then he has the guest, and maybe then he'll have, okay, now we play this game. Then a couple more questions. Then he plays another game. And I'm pretty impressed with the amount of work that goes into that show.
How many writers do you think he has?
I don't know. Maybe one or two.
Really?
I'm going to tell you something about his show.
Yeah?
It's like in a garment district of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many tales I should tell, but I was in his studio audience on the 29th. You go to this old factory building, and at the front door, there's a bouncer. If your name's on the list, you can get to the elevator, and then you go up where drinks are served for free. Okay, and they play loud, like disco music or something, where you and the other members of the studio audience, I was studio audience, not a guest, of course, you wait. So you drink, 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 and he comes up on the same freight elevator. His producer is pouring the drinks. So it's not a huge staff. He's got, and that person who pours the drinks then is among those who want everyone to clap and applaud at the as loudly as they possibly can. They point out that the other late night shows only, you know, have four times the audience.
Yeah.
So we have to make up for that with enthusiasm. And everything that is said, there's someone leading the applause. Cohen's dressing room is right around the corner from the studio itself. The studio is small. I don't know, it's about, I think it's about 10 people working on the whole thing.
How is he not a radio guy? That sounds like how we've always had to like do radio with. We always had to make a big production with a lot less. Normally when you hear about these TV productions, they have a 12 staff writing this show, and they're doing all the jokes, and even on top of that, it's not as entertaining. You have Andy Cohen, you can sit down, watch his show. He is super charismatic. He is so good with the guests, and he's just so personable, and that's just because that's him as a personality. That's like a radio show, you know?
Well, he does a radio show. You know, he's got that whole channel on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
And he, you know, that's a really good point you make, because he does operate it. But here's the thing. Nobody watching the show knows any of this, right?
Yeah.
They don't know he's coming up on a freight elevator with the guests or, you know, the studio audience. They don't know that the producer is also the bartender, is also like the stage manager, whatever. Yeah. But he pulls it off. I mean, last night he had Eddie Redmayne, famous actor, as well as Zoe Kravitz, you know, another great actress. And it the audience was going wild. So he's got that. He's got the three New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah.
He's the producer of these Real Housewives series. The guy never stops.
Are you going to write any more books?
Yes. But I think I might self-publish this time. I'm, you know, you don't make enough money working for a publisher. So when I wrote the most recent book, Amazing St. Louis, they gave me $1.35 a copy. And so we sold 13,000. The publisher probably makes 10 bucks a copy.
Yeah.
But who does all the work? The author.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next time around, it might look cheap, but I think self-publishing is the way to go if you have a local regional book. You can't do it nationally.
Yeah. 13,000 is a lot. That's
not really.
You don't think so? I think that's a lot.
20,000 is a bestseller.
13,000 is good then for a regional.
Well, it's a regional.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
If I sold 13,000 in the top 30 markets, then I'd really have a lot of money.
Did Hillary Clinton even sell that much on her book? She struggled selling hers, and she's a well-known brand.
I'm sure she sold
I don't know
many,
she
many
did.
Copies. Okay. She got 63 million votes, so 1% of those.
Oh, I don't know. You've seen those photos of her at Costco selling in front of the toilet paper and things. Yeah.
Well, that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, you sometimes see, and I don't think that's a good place to go. If you let's say you write a book, Ryan, don't go to Costco and wait for Bob from Boonville to drop by. You have to go speak to the Rotary or the Lions Club, the Chamber of Commerce, and then sell your book, you know, make it interesting, and then people will line up.
Yeah.
And I've seen people do that very successfully.
All right, one more question for you. If you can change one thing about radio, what would you change?
Well, I think, I probably shouldn't say it, but I think we're cutting back staff too much, so I would change that.
Reverse the trend of cutting,
I would spend more time on terrestrial
and
less on all the others. Now, you know me, you're probably not surprised by me saying that, but I love to hear people talking. That's how I relax and inform myself. You say something interesting or informative or funny, I listen to you.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it much more than the social media, than the online experience.
Yeah.
And so I wish we didn't have to spend so much time sending everybody to kmox.radio.com or my Twitter handle or whatever. Because the experience of me listening to you share your thoughts or interview an expert or someone who's famous, I prefer that to all the other experiences.
Yeah. You know, we have, I've interviewed people in Canada. There's a really big radio company called Chorus, and they own maybe 12 or 13 radio stations. But when it comes to their digital side, they have a complete digital staff that not just recycles the content on air, but they actually package it in a way where they're trying to hit that unique audience. Their goal is to get each of their shows downloading at 100,000 a month, 100,000 downloads a month. They accomplish that on about 25% of their shows, which is pretty remarkable if you think about it. And the way they do that is instead of cutting back and just putting whatever on the web, they actually have someone that takes pride in managing that. So they'll take what was there and they'll find a way to repackage it so the audience online wants that sort of thing, and it's really successful for them.
So what kind of shows are they
This is
offering?
Their talk show. So if you listen,
kind?
So if you it's almost like the KMOX of Vancouver. It would be I forgot which what the call letters are. So if you, they have their regular talk shows that they do on air, but the way they package their shows is a lot different when it comes to their digital. So they almost package it in a way where they know this is what's going to be popular for a podcast. We're only going to take the parts that are popular, and we'll get it all together in a way that we know people would want to download it. So as opposed to just saying, in case you missed it, here's what you can listen to, it's a, this is a whole different new experience, even though it's what they used on air. So they're being crafty with it. As opposed to cutting back, they hired more people that knew how to do this, and they've been super successful with it on the digital side. So I think there's a lot of advantages to stop cutting back. If you can add on and just know where you need to add, mm-hmm. that could be a huge advantage for
so
radio.
Do they cut up the on-air programming and then repackage it?
That's what they do, yeah.
Okay, but they don't take the whole thing. They take
right, they don't
portions.
Take the whole thing.
Like, here's the kernel of our interview with Bob Spitz that you will enjoy.
Yeah, it would be like, I'm trying to think of a good example. So if you could do it that way where it's, but that's pretty straightforward. This is more or less like if you were to mm-hmm. watch, you ever watch like an SNL compilation where they don't show the full skits, but they show a couple like really yeah. good parts of, it'd be like that. So here's just not even the whole interviews. Here's the best parts of the best parts, but it's packaged in a way where, you know, this might be good on air, but this is what's good for online.
How long are those segments? Do you know?
No, I'm not.
Because I like to, you know, weed in the backyard, do chores, listening, mm-hmm. let's say, podcasts,
yeah.
including, you know, ones here. But they should be about 35 minutes long at least.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be like, well, I shouldn't say that because NPR does have, let's say, they'll give you a bunch of their segments,
yeah.
You know, 4 or 5 minutes long each, and you can kind of go from one to the other if you want.
Yeah, they'll have, you know, 15, 20 people working on a show, though, you know, on NPR. That's like as high right. as it gets when it comes to podcasting.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's like the absolute pinnacle of it.
Mm.
Charlie Brennan, thank you for talking radio with me.
Ryan, thank you.
Glad we were finally able to do that. I've been asking him to do that for about 6 months. Every time I come in during the day, hey, Charlie, you got any time we can hop in the studio? Oh, no, I'm very busy. I'm busy. Oh, I got about 400 commercial spots to record. Okay. Next time I see him, hey, how about now? You got about 10 minutes? We can hop in the studio real quick. Ooh, sorry. Oh, boy, I just about to go. I've got another 8 TV appearances to do later today. Oh, bummer. All right. Hey, Charlie, you got some time? Can we do this real quick? Oh, I wish I could, but I got to go. There's always, Charlie's got a million different things going on. I got to go hang out with Andy Cohen. He's name dropping again. I love Charlie, so I'm glad we were able to do that. Now, it made me wonder. I know there's a lot of people that ask me questions like, what's Mark Reardon really like? Is Charlie really like that? That's a popular question people ask when they find out I work for KMOX. What is so-and-so really like? What do you know about this person? So if you've ever had a radio question, something you wanted to know about what goes on behind the scenes here at KMOX, or just radio in general, I can normally address a lot of different radio topics, mostly because I've worked in it long enough to have some experience in many different formats. Let me know. Call in 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. What's the radio question you've always wanted answered or always wondered about? We can do some of that. Those are fun. I do this every once in a while. Sometimes people call in, sometimes people don't. But I find there's always, whenever I go out in person, people always have questions about what happens in the background of KMOX. I'd be happy to answer some of them if you want. Coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America. The two best things in your night on KMOX.
Oh, that's right. I could have been Ryan Rocker. Man, all this time, I never thought to do that. My whole trajectory of my career path could have changed. Instead of being in St. Louis, Missouri at KMOX, I could be in Missoula, Montana right now, playing all the hits. Playing all the hits. Well, if you've ever wondered, hey, why do they do this in radio, or what happens behind the scenes at KMOX? Call us. I don't know. I think people have interest, fascination in what goes on here and at different radio stations. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's a Thursday night and a Friday morning. We're a little bit looser during that time. We had a little bit of flexibility on the formatting, and I try to do things that aren't as heavy on Thursday night and a Friday. And I find that anytime I let someone know I'm from KMOX, there's a couple of different things they let me know about. They let me know about their KMOX memories. That's a popular one. Hey, what's Charlie really like? Oh, I like that Charlie. Well, he's, you know, 30 years in, so of course you've listened to Charlie for all these years, then you have some sort of connection with him. Or someone will ask me, you know, what's that Mark Reardon like? Oh, what's that Carol Daniel like? You know, everyone wants to know what so-and-so's like. But I also find people always wonder why we do certain things. You know, it's kind of fun to answer those questions. So if you've ever wondered and you haven't had a chance to meet me in public, 314-436-7900. Not that you would have known it was me in public. I've never really been recognized here in St. Louis. No one's come up to me and said, hey, are you Ryan Recker? It's probably for the better that I live under the radar. I don't have to wear the Groucho Marx style glasses and fake nose or whatever to try to blend in anywhere. But then again, when you're a Charlie Brennan, I bet you get stopped all the time. Do you think he, you know what most celebrities do? I found this out. They keep Sharpie markers in their pockets because the amount of times people come up and asking for an autograph, they don't got time to wait for someone to pull a pen out. They just pull it out and you're going to do their thing and done. I don't know how many Sharpies they go through, maybe depending on how popular they are. But if you've ever wondered anything that goes on behind the scenes, give us a call or text it in too at 314-436-7900. Maybe it's more of a sleepy type of Thursday night. People had a lot of time together during the day because they didn't go to school or they didn't go to work or whatever it was. They worked from home. Maybe they just are out enjoying an early weekend or whatever. I found this story at KMOX.com. We talked about this during the week too. The Loop Trolley was dedicated earlier today, but still hasn't made its first public run because of the weather that came out earlier. It had their golden spike ceremony, nailed it into the ground to mark the occasion. Previously planned dedication ceremony had been moved indoors after a mid-November storm dumped several inches of snow on the region. Isn't that funny? We get these brand new trolleys, and the thing that stops it is not it being long overdue or way over budget. It's because the day they decide to do it, there's snow on the ground. Do these trolleys not operate well when there's snow? Can you not run them? Or do they just decide not to? Well, they're enclosed. You can, when you walk in, it's not like you can just hop on and off of these trolleys at any given time. So maybe tomorrow they'll be able to do their first run. When I'm doing the over-under, I think it's only going to take, by the time we get back on Sunday night, if they're running these trolleys all weekend, I'm just going to guess there's one incident with a car between now and Sunday night. They're going to start running them tomorrow. I feel like these cars, there's no courtesy, no consideration. I read these stories online about how they've been testing these trolleys, and there'll be a car 3 feet off the curb over the line, and the trolley car driver tries to squeeze by him, but they can't, or you'll get stuck on it waiting for a tow truck to show up. And then there's the, oh, I didn't know I can park here. No one knows anything about these until the trolleys get going. To me, it's like a major inconvenience. $51 million on this project. Lots of delays, lots of missed deadlines. I get it. It's a fun luxury item. It's just not one I think was all that necessary. I guess people like it, but man, all the time and consideration that went into that sort of thing. 3 years, 3.5 years. Oof. It said, do it for those of us who endured the process and made it this day. Made it to this day. Hang in there because I sure have. In rain, sleet, or snow, the trolley will roll. Of course, they got to make it rhyme like that. Operators indicated safety first when it comes to the operation. Trolley lines attract tourists and residents who support economic development and arts and cultural institution. Visitors reach their destinations more easily by simply hopping on the trolley. I think it's more of a novelty. I don't think people are going to use this as a form of mass transportation. I don't know how many people at the park, let's say you're at the History Museum, which closes early, you're at the History Museum, and you're saying, man, I wish I was at the Del Mar Loop right now. I'll just hop on the trolley. I think it's going to be people that are curious to do it, and they'll have fun doing it, but they're going to go out of their way to do it. It's not going to be a convenience factor where, oh, I was going to drive over there, but now I can just take the trolley. I don't think you're going to see a lot of those people doing it that way. I don't think you're going to see students taking it back and forth because it's not like where students would go. And you're not going to find people using it like the Metrolink or anything because it's not going to go far. It's only a 2-mile circle. And then again, you're going to a couple of different places that aren't all that well. It's not like the Loop's not well traveled, but how many people from the Loop are saying, you know, I'm going to leave here because I want to go to the History Museum or I want to go to that part of Forest Park? I just feel like I hope it works. I hope people use it, but I don't know how they'll ever make money on this thing. There's no way they're going to be able to sell enough tickets in order to recoup anything close to $51 million on it. And I hope in the end they're still happy. And ultimately, there's some private funding and the people that went around and got the money to do this and put their own money into it. Those are the ones that you want to at least be satisfied in the end. Hopefully they are, and they won't be able to think this is a regret of theirs in life. I don't want them on their deathbed thinking, if it wasn't for that stupid trolley, my life would have been so much better. I hope that's not going to be one of those instances. Man, why did it take that long? Last week on Monday, I posted a blog on KMOX.com of all the celebrities that died from the start of construction of the trolley up until now. And still, you can add another one on top of it with Roy Clark passing away today, the Hee-Haw star. I don't know who he is. I just see his name popping up on social media all the time. I just think that the trolley was a mistake. Unfortunately, I don't think it was worth it. I mean, it's fun in theory. I just don't think it's worth it. I also think that you can go to St. Charles and hop on a bus that looks like a trolley and be just as entertained. And that's free. And you can actually get around and hop off and do things on that one. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You say Kevin Kleen pointed out that it took 3 years while the Transcontinental Railroad took only 6. You know, I heard Alex bring that up in the newscast this week. I didn't know if Kevin wrote that or was as Alex, but that's a good point. The Transcontinental Railroad took 6 years. This took since March of 2015. The Rams were still playing in St. Louis when they started construction on this. The Rams still playing here. Crazy talk. Also coming up, did you hear the story of the two planes that clipped each other? It's not a joke. It makes it sound like, hey, a good punchline for this one. And Reverend Larry Rice, there's some news that happened over the last couple of days. What did I miss, by the way? Last 3 nights I've been off. Did I miss anything? And we'll keep the phone lines open for you. You know, we were a little more flexible because it's a Friday night. 314-436-7900 is the number. On Overnight America, KMOX.
News at the top and bottom of the hour. Mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I brought I'll save that for later. I got a couple of different stories. I can't believe no one has a radio question. Maybe everyone is just so knowledgeable of what goes on behind the scenes. What you don't know is that producer Mike over there dances. It's actually in my contract that the producer must dance for me in between the breaks. He's mostly doing the chicken dance. He's only got a few to choose from. So it's either the chicken dance or the bunny hop. Yeah, there we go. Oh, that's the shopping cart? Are you making up dances now? The shopping cart? What would a radio DJ dance be like? If you basically like not moving. Oh, yeah, picking up the phones. Ooh, I like that one. Remember that for next time. So two planes clipped each other at Lambert Airport. KMOV was there. Of course they were. So KMOV talked to someone that was actually on the plane.
I just spoke with a man who is traveling on a WOW Airlines flight to Amsterdam with his family. And he said,
wait, who goes to Amsterdam with their family? I thought people that went to Amsterdam were going to, like, I can't wait to hit the red light district. And they just smoke the whole time. I thought the reason you go to Amsterdam was anything goes. Any drug you want to put in your body, you're allowed to. Isn't that what Amsterdam's known for? Who goes with their family? It's like going to Vegas with your family. One time I went to Vegas with a friend. This is a long time ago. When my friend just goes, he used to go like a couple times a year, and he said, oh, you'd love it out there. I'm like, oh, okay. So we went out there, and I hated it. And I thought, who would bring their kids to this place? Seriously? No, this would be the worst place to bring kids. When I was there in Vegas, you couldn't walk outside a casino for more than 10 feet without someone trying to solicit you, you know, the women that come to your hotel rooms. They're handing out these little business cards. Call this number, call that number. I was like, who brings their family? And you look on the ground, it's just littered with these little flyers for topless women and things like that. Like, what? What? Who does that? Producer Mike looking up flights right now.
Says that he was on this plane waiting for it to go to the runway, and then he noticed that Southwest flight come in and clip the winglet. That's the outer tip of the wing on the plane. Now, let's take a listen to what he told me about that experience.
It looks like the way that they took a photo of this, where the plane, if you took just two back wings or whatever the things of the plane are called, winglets? Oh, yeah, the winglets. No, that's what they were called. You ever put together one of those little cheap pieces of wood? It's not a paper airplane, but you kind of, they came in like a little package and you open them up and the wood pieces fit, the little slots fit in with each other, and then you'd throw them kind of like a paper airplane. It looks like that you put two pieces that didn't belong together and they tried to fit with the little slots. That's what it looks like on the back of the plane.
We felt the jolt. It was a little unusual. I thought that went through my mind was they didn't pull the blocks around the tires or something. The pilot came on and said, first time in his experience, but a plane just hit him at the gate.
Wow. Wonder if there's insurance for pilots. Like, did you have to fill out an incident report? Did you get the Geico out there, to little Gecko? Did you get Flo from Progressive to check it out? It's like it never happened. Or what's the one where the guy's doing the Hall of Fame of the different incidents that caused accidents? They're like, here's the one where a squirrel went down the guy's leg and it made him cause an accident. And they do like a little squirrel running up a leg statue inside of their Hall of Fame. Oh, State Farm? Or no, Farmers Insurance. Yeah, that famous actor's the one doing it. Now that could be a commercial. Here's one where a pilot flew his plane into another pilot. Well, luckily no one was hurt there.
Now, that passenger told me, as for him, on while he has no idea what the plan is, he's yet to get any information, but...
Is that hilarious? The guy's going to Amsterdam. He doesn't know what they're going to do next. Of course he doesn't. He's a passenger on a plane to Amsterdam. Like, he's going to know what's going on. Well, actually, I did a full investigation myself, and now I know. No, of course he wouldn't know.
Southwest did tell us in a statement tonight that their outbound flights are going to operate as normal, but as for the folks on that WOW plane, they're still here wondering what to do next.
WOW plane. Is that the plane service that's leaving St. Louis? Of course it is. What a nice goodbye. So, see you later. We're going to clip the back of your plane. You know, I don't feel so bad about it now. That's what they get. That's a St. Louis goodbye there, isn't it? Luckily, no one was hurt. Here's another story from KMOV. And this happened a few days ago, and I didn't have a chance to talk about it because I was gone the last couple of days. Oh, that's right. I missed you. Aw. St. Louis city officials passed a ruling that would allow Reverend Larry Rice's New Life Evangelistic Center to reopen as a day-use ministry. I think I know what the city's trying to pull here. I haven't had a chance to talk to Larry Rice, but this is what I would tell him, because he might be listening. Who knows? He might be dry. You know what Larry Rice does at night? He goes around, and he knows some of these homeless people, the chronically homeless. He'll go around, make sure they're okay. Like, he'll hand out meals. He'll hand out coats and jackets. He'll do wellness checks on people at night. That's what he does. And the city's hassling him. So Rice said Monday that they are halfway to their fundraising goal, in which they would use renovations to repair the facility to make all changes requested by the city. They had to raise $350,000 in order to get the center back up and running. The structure would not be approved as an overnight shelter. Here's what I don't understand. If you're allowed to go in and use it during the day, Why can't you use it at night? So it's either safe to enter or it's not safe to enter. If the city says it's safe to enter during the day, they should be allowed to do it at night. Here's what I really think's happening. Larry Rice is bringing this up and he keeps appealing this as, you know, they don't have the authority to close down his ministry in the way that they practice ministry inside his building. What I think is happening is that the city is starting to realize that he may be able to take this case further up, maybe even to the Supreme Court here in the state of Missouri, and make that argument and win. So they're thinking to themselves, well, what if we separate the ministry from the homeless shelter side of it? So if we throw him a bone here and this thing does go this far into the courts, hey, at least we'll be able to use as our defense, but he's allowed to continue to practice his ministry. I think they're purposely trying to do this so they could build a defense against a lawsuit, which they could lose. I think it's just them weaseling their way out of knowing that they could lose this in the end. This is making no sense to me. It's either the building's safe to go in or it's not. If it's safe, then you got to allow it. If it's not safe, then it's not. Downtown business owners have appealed the insurance of the permit, and Rice says he hopes to eventually work out a solution to make the center accessible part of the neighborhood. Rice also said the renovations are just an interim step towards reopening as a full overnight homeless shelter, a fight that continues through the courts. I hope he gets it. I really hope he gets the ability to. Skirting their ability to make a defense there. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'd love to talk to Larry Rice about this again. I should reach out to him. He's come on the show a couple of times. And, you know, he's done full hours on the show where you could call in and ask him questions. He's not afraid to answer these things, which is good, which is really good. All right, let's see what we got here for the rest of the night. You know, I got a cool interview coming up. His name is Alan Adamson. I don't know if that's his real name or not. It sounds like a fake name. Alan Adamson. With everyone interested in how brands operate themselves and how they stay out of controversy or get into controversy, he is a person that studied companies and the best companies and how they stay relevant. It's not easy to stay relevant. Look at some of the big companies that have closed down. Remember Toys R Us this year? You thought to yourself, Toys R Us would be around forever. Toys R Us did some really innovative things back in the day. I remember going to Toys R Us when I was a kid. What a strong name. But think of all the different large name companies that are no longer a thing. Like, look at Xerox anymore. We still call it a Xerox copy, right? I'm going to go make a Xerox copy. Xerox isn't close to where they were back when they were relevant. But then there's some brands and companies that have figured out how to buck the changes. And, you know, when it comes around, it wasn't a negative for them. They made it into a positive. That's good for them. Plus, since we'll be past midnight, we'll open the phone lines for you. If there's something you want to talk about, I could have missed something over the last couple of days that, you know, you didn't have a chance to call in on or you wanted to. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 is the number. I'm getting close to that weekend time. And I heard that commercial for the Polar Express. Man, I'm going. I have the ability to go tomorrow. I signed up for it. I'm really excited. I am so excited. Can I tell you what I'm a little nervous about? Tomorrow, we have the ability through work here. There's a little like a sign-up sheet for the employees of all of our radio stations that can go do one of the trial runs for the Polar Express so they make sure they get everything done. And it's kind of nice. It's a courtesy. A lot of times, media is open to trial runs because we're good because we like things for free and they offer it for free, but you're kind of like the guinea pig sort of thing. So I signed up for it, and my wife was all excited, and she was telling some people, oh, we get to go Polar Express. One of her friends did the trial run last year because they knew who the big man was there. I don't want to say, but knew the big man. Well, they get onto the train, and apparently there was something wrong with the track, and they were stuck for an extra hour and a half. So she's like, oh, man, I hope that doesn't happen to us. There's only so much you can do with a four-year-old to entertain them long enough. Oh, very special treat coming up here in about 10 minutes. You know what it is. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.